Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I have been so happy to have been involved in the life of Hatching Little Bee, at least by watching a video and reading Wendy Holden's wonderful, wonderfully uplifting book about so many good people and a really good dog. We're going to be talking about Owen Hopkins this hour of the program. He's been described by Wendy, who's the author of Hatchie and Little Bee, the inspiring true story of one boy and his dog. Owen, a funny, smart, courageous little boy with a very rare muscular condition. Probably only about 30 people in the world have this. He lives in England, and he had a hard time moving around, spent a lot of time in a wheelchair, was worried that people were always staring at him, lived a pretty solitary life. And the dog part of this story is Hatchie, who was abandoned when he was 5 months old, led to a railroad track, and a train rolled over him. He lost his leg. It was amazing that he survived. But the two of them eventually found each other. And talk about this learning from each other and this incredible human-animal bond and how it grew from Owen and Hatchie to extended family and then to many people in the world. It is an absolutely extraordinarily beautiful story. I urge you to go, because there is a visual element to this, to go to our Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, and please look at the video so you can get a picture of Owen and Hatchie. And we're going to be talking about both of their stories and what they've done for each other this hour of the program. We have two guests with us. Wendy Holden has written this lovely book, Hatchie and Little Bee, the inspiring true story of one boy and his dog. Wendy is the author of two novels, 30 nonfiction books, including, and this dog happened to die today, actually, Uggie, My Story. And she's also written, ghostwritten autobiographies of Goldie Hawn and Barbara Sinatra, and she wrote for the Daily Telegraph for a number of years. She lives in Suffolk, England, with her husband and two dogs, and so it's perfect that she should write this story. We welcome you, Wendy, to our conversation, and thank you so much for writing the book. I'm just so involved in this story, I can't believe it. I've been involved since last night. I can't let it go, and I never will.
Oh, bless you, Kathleen, and thank you so much for having me. It really is one of the great privileges of my life to have met Owen and Hatchie and their family. They really are humbling in their just general goodness and kindness to people and to each other. And it really is the most heartwarming story I think I've ever written.
Well, I'm so glad you wrote it. And there is just this abundant goodness, good people, good story, good. It's just so good. I just haven't been so inspired in a long time. It's a lovely story.
True. And, of course, it starts with great inhumanity, cruelty to the dog, but it ends up with such humanity, with the kindness of strangers and the goodness sort of rippling out in circles from both this little boy, who's quite remarkable and I'm completely besotted, and this giant dog who, you know, completely, that's it, I'm finished as soon as I see him.
I'll bet you are. We'll be back with you for a much longer conversation, but Owen, I know, is close to his bedtime. He's in England, and so we don't want him to miss his sleep because he'll have to go to school tomorrow, but we wanted to spend some time speaking with Owen Hopkins, who is described as this funny, smart, and courageous little boy, and I must tell you, Owen, when I looked at you on that video, I thought, you are smart and courageous, and whatever you say, I'll listen to you. You have a great, great wisdom that's way beyond your... How old are you now, 9 or 10?
I'm 9 and coming up 10 in 25th of August.
How many weeks?
2 weeks.
Oh, in 2 weeks. Happy birthday.
Thanks.
Yeah, double digit. That's a big one.
Yeah.
I know it is. All right, I want you to tell me about Hatchie, and if you would, tell me about the day that he came into your life, because your stepmom says there was just an immediate bonding, there was an immediate love between the two of you, wasn't there?
Yeah, Hatchie is very inspiring dog, and lovable, careful, and cuddable. Cuddly and anything you can imagine. And the day Hatchie came into my life, was is at the date was 18th of February 2012.
You remember the day? That's something.
Yeah.
The video and certainly the book that Wendy wrote, which is so beautiful about you and your family, indicates that the two of you have this communication that's pretty much between the two of you, that you kind of talk to each other, Owen.
Yes, we do. I do it a lot.
Do you mind saying what you talk about? I mean, you don't have to tell us everything, but what are the subject matter? What's the subject matter of what you talk about?
I talk about when we have to go, if we want to go for walks, or if he's tired, or if he's playable, and I can lie on the floor. And sometimes he tells me he's going to have a hatching moment, and that means he has a toy in his mouth, and he throws it across the living room.
And the two of you have been honored. You've won some remarkable awards. Haven't you?
Cross, Friends for Life, Gruntal, First Place Ribbons for a cafe, Best in Show.
And there was some band member, I don't keep up on modern bands, Owen, I'm sorry, but there was some band member who, oh, it was somebody from Queen, right, who gave you an award?
Yeah, Eiffel Awards.
Tell me about how it is you are doing these days. From what I've read in the book, and it's a beautiful book that Wendy wrote, you were pretty much withdrawn. You put your cap over your head, and you didn't want anybody to interact with you. And when Hatchie came into your life, because he had a disability, that really changed. The focus went on Hatchie and not on you. And all of a sudden, after you win these awards, you're talking to the media, you're on radio, you're on television. I think it's not too much a stretch to say he changed your life, Owen.
Yes, because if it wasn't for Hatchie, I wouldn't be in this situation right now, and if Hatchie wasn't here, I wouldn't be having this at the moment, and I have him right now, and I'm still here.
How are you feeling now? Are you in a wheelchair most of the time now, Owen, or can you walk a little bit?
I can walk a little bit with my walker, but I can't walk unaided.
Mm-hmm. And what about Hatchie? How's he getting about now? Can he walk a little bit? He has a harness, doesn't he?
He hasn't got a harness anymore. He can walk. He can walk for the rest of his life now.
He can. Both of you have had to see some doctors, haven't you, over the years? He's gone to the doctor, you've gone to the doctor, you help each other go to the doctor.
Yeah.
And he's a therapy dog now, I understand. He goes to the hospital to visit other people?
Yes, he does. With Colleen, when I'm at school.
Hmm. Do you get to bring him to school ever?
No.
No?
It's like a pet day. One day, my dad might ask school if we can bring him in.
Oh, I think he should go every day, don't you, Owen?
Yeah. I wish.
I know. That would be the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess you can't always do that. Oh, well. We want to bring our dogs to work every day, too, and we can't do that, I guess.
No.
How do you feel? Are you feeling good?
Yeah. Chilling out on my chair at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And where's Hatchie?
He's gone outside.
And the two of you really are best buddies and have been for some time. Owen, I don't want you to stay up too late. I did want to ask you, though, are you still collecting postcards?
Yes, we are.
You are? Where do you get them now? I know people have written to you from all over the world.
We've got, yeah, and we have, like, Portugal, America. New Zealand.
Hmm. Do you have any from Wisconsin?
No.
I think you should, don't you?
Yeah, I should.
Okay, okay. We're going to give an address later on so we can get some postcards to you from Wisconsin. And it would be great if they could be postcards with dogs on them. But I guess cows or scenery or all of that would be okay as well.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, and I can't tell you how much of a treat it's been to meet you and to hear your story. It's just, I hope you know this, but you have touched people in such a deep way. You're going to be 10 in a couple weeks, but what you have to say to people, it could almost be as though you've lived to be 100. Do you know that? I mean, I think you're very wise.
Thank you.
And very humble, too, right, Owen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you give Hatchie a great big hug for us?
Yes, I will.
Thank you so much, Owen. Thank you. Thank you for your story. Yes, thank you. Owen Hawkins, and his story is featured in Wendy Holden's book, Hatchie and Little Bee, The Inspiring True Story of One Boy and His Dog. Ah, Wendy, he just kind of takes my breath away. I mean, he does. He does speak, and when you see the video of him, too, and the pictures in your book, there's something just incredibly wise about him.
There is a great wisdom about him, and what's funny, really, Kathleen, is that Hatchie shares that same kind of wisdom. It's as if they've been here before, and many people have said that they feel, when they see the two of them together, as if somehow they were destined to be together, because they really just gel, and they click, and they're just extraordinary together, and there is this calm presence about them that's just so reassuring. And I mean, it never fails to bring a tear to my eye to see them, but they are tears of joy, not sorrow.
Yeah, I'm sure I would. Oh, I'd love to meet them sometime. And yet they've both been through such hard times. It's amazing that Hatchie survived what he went through. Please tell us his story and Owen's story, which is just, his illness is so rare.
Yes, it is. Well, I'll start with Hatchie. One night in January 2012, a train driver was driving his freight wagon, 30-ton freight wagon, through an area of East London, and he spotted at the last minute a dog or an animal. He wasn't exactly sure what it was on the tracks, and he couldn't stop, and he ran over it. I think he hoped that the dog had suffered a quick and painless end. Unfortunately, Hatchie hadn't died, but he had lost a leg and a tail, and he managed to crawl away from the tracks, but lay down in adjacent tracks, thinking that was safe, not knowing that it was an incredibly busy railway line and a narrow corridor. And so when the driver reported that there was an animal hit, an ops manager called Nigel Morris was sent to see what was there, and he met up with the RSPCA inspector, a woman called Siobhan, and they went along, and they couldn't believe what they saw. Not only was this five-month-old Anatolian Shepherd puppy, and when I say puppy, even at puppyhood, they're the size of a Labrador, lying on the tracks. They watched as another train came along, and they couldn't do anything, and they pressed back against the fence, and they watched as the dog ducked as the train came through. Anyway, they managed to get him away and away to a hospital, and at the hospital it was clear that his leg had been severed, his tail had been severed, but much more importantly, he'd been bludgeoned over the head with a blunt instrument, and they believe that he was deliberately hit and then thrown onto the line. And they operated and they amputated what was left of his leg and stemmed the bleeding. And then they honestly didn't think he was going to survive the night because they didn't know how long he'd been there. And he was really in a very bad way. But throughout, he was incredibly relaxed and sweet-natured. And the RSPCA vet said that normally when a dog's seriously injured like that and you go to approach them, they growl or, you know, anything other than be touched again or hurt in any way. But for some reason, this dog never, ever did that. He was just utterly sweet-natured and lovely. And so he survived the night, much to everybody's surprise. But then, of course, he'd survived one death only to face a very different kind of death because the problem with a large three-legged dog who's in a shelter is that who wants him? You
sure.
know? It's a lot of money, it's a lot of vet's bills, it's a lot of food. You know, nobody knows why he was dumped there. The RSPCA, the ops manager, the trains, railway ops manager, did see a stranger walking along the tracks a bit further along, and they believe that it was he that had dumped him there. And so, you know, nobody knew why he'd been dumped, but for whatever reason, he was going to be a very difficult dog to place, so they considered euthanizing him again. He was given the name Stray E10, which was a normal categorization, Stray because he was a stray, and E10 was the zip code where he'd been found. But everybody just loved him so much that on day two they decided that that wasn't good enough and they had to give him a name. So one of the RSPCA inspectors came up with the name Hachiko. And Hachiko was a dog in Japan in the 1920s, a very famous dog. He was Makita dog, and he Hachiko means faithful dog number 8 in Japanese. And he was much loved by his master, who was a professor at Tokyo University. And each morning he trotted down to the railway station with him where he lived, saw him get on the train, and then each night when his master's train was due to come home, he went back down to the railway station to wait for his master. And one day, sadly, his master had a brain hemorrhage and died at work and never came home. And the dog refused to leave the station, and he waited for him for 10 years. And he became a symbol of great national pride and loyalty, to the point that when he died, they had a bronze statue made of him. And they actually, poor thing, had him stuffed and put in the museum. But, he is a national treasure, and people everywhere know about Hatchie. And so because of the tenuous link with the railway line that this Hatchie had been connected to, that's how he got the name. The book was later made into a film. The story of Hatchie was later made into a film with Richard Gere, which was obviously set in America and did it slightly differently. But nonetheless, it was a charming and very heart-wrenching film. So dear Hatchie, our Hatchie, then had to find a guardian angel who would be prepared to take him. And it looked increasingly bleak. And I think he was due to be put to sleep or euthanized on the Monday. And on the Sunday, somebody spotted him online in a sort of emergency rescue website. And they decided to take him in, foster him, and take him away from that possibility of being put to sleep. And eventually, within a matter of days, he was spotted online by Colleen Drummond, and she was a fabulous. She is a fabulous woman, New Zealander, who was living in London, and had a great love of dogs, great experience with dogs.
Yes.
And she decided to try and take him in, really just to save his life. That was the main thing. She gasped when she saw his face on Facebook, and I'm sure when you look at the pictures of Hatchie on your website, you'll know what I mean.
Right.
I mean, he's just got one of those faces that makes you gasp.
Yes.
Because it's just the eyes and the giant head is just so remarkable. And then when she went to meet him, she actually stopped breathing. It was just, it was so much for her because he just was this most fantastic, adorable three-legged dog struggling with his disability. And really skidding and sliding all over the place. When a dog becomes a tripaw, as they call them, it's very difficult for them to get used to their new body weight and gravity, center of gravity changes, and they have great difficulty to begin with, and especially when he was a puppy anyway, and also such a big dog. So, he was struggling a bit, but he skidded over to her. She sat on the floor, and he put his head in her lap and looked up at her, and that was it. She was gone.
Yeah. And her story on the video, and you write about her, too, it's not only their story. There are all these good, good people who surround this story, and Colleen is front and center on this. She's just
front and center, yes. She's
beautifully,
an extraordinary woman.
Yes, she
and
is.
A beautiful spirit.
Yes.
And she does the most incredible things for everybody else. But you know, her husband Will, Owen's father, is exactly the same. They just are lovely people. But all the people, there were probably three or four stages before Hatchie got to Killeen. And these were people who are volunteers who drop everything and rush to go and rescue and collect dogs and bring them home, even if it's just for a night, to foster them, to take them in and to try to save them. I mean, there are something like 120,000 stray dogs abandoned every year in Britain, and I'm sure that's, you know, increased, you know, many, many times over in America. And but in the UK alone, a dog is killed every hour, euthanized every hour by shelters because they simply can't cope with them all. There's just a flood of abandoned dogs, and particularly in times of economic recession, you know, people abandon dogs because they can't be bothered to feed them, or they can't afford them, or, you know, they just don't want to have them. So it's an incredible chain of kindness, of human kindness.
Yes, yes.
That Hatchie was able to move along. And the most amazing thing is that through all of this and being passed through all these different levels and people's hands, he just seemed to take everything in his three-legged stride.
And it is a story of human kindness overflowing, every single part of this. We're going to continue our conversation. Wendy Holden is with us now. Owen had to go to bed because he's got to go to school tomorrow. Her book is Hatchie and Little Bee. It's the inspiring true story of one boy and his dog. It's a captivating story, not only Hatchie and Little Bee's story, and you heard Owen speak. He just is a remarkable young 9-year-old, soon to be 10-year-old. Just sort of stops you in your tracks is what it does. So we're continuing with Wendy, and we'll hear more about Owen's story. Both Hatchie and Owen have had to face a lot of doctors and medical procedures and surgeries, and it hasn't been easy for either one of them, but, you know, they've got each other, and they've got some kind souls around them, some very kind souls. We welcome phone calls. A couple things I want to tell you. One is get the book. If you love animals and you want an uplifting story, this is the one for the year. And we also have, I urge you to see what we're talking about. There is a video of Owen and Hatchie, a documentary film crew, because they were at dog shows in England and filmed them. And so it's a short clip. It's about 9 minutes. And we've put it on our Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, so you can be as moved as we are in seeing it. Oh, and we're going to take phone calls, too. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org, and the Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now we're speaking with Wendy Holden. She is the author of Hatchie and Little Bee, the inspiring true story of one boy and his dog. And inspirational is an understatement. It's a wonderful book and quite a story. We're welcoming phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655. We've heard a bit about the story of Hatchie, but now I would like for our guest, Wendy, to talk about Owen's story, which is equally as remarkable. Tell me about the disease, how it was diagnosed, and how Owen has had to cope with it, Wendy.
Yeah, I will. He was born in August 2005 to his parents, Will and Kim, who both serve in the armed forces. And to begin with, everything seemed completely normal. He was a perfectly happy, normal, bouncing baby, and they were thrilled and delighted. But in the course of the next year, people started to notice, I think they probably did too, but to begin with they were probably in denial, that there were some unusual things about him. He seemed to be constantly tense. His muscles seemed to be fairly tense, and he had various other problems, health problems, that didn't seem to be quite right or quite normal. He wasn't developing in quite the same way. Didn't seem to be able to walk or be as mobile as they would have expected. And of course, all new parents go through that anxiety about whether their child is behind or, you know, doing as much as anybody else. But eventually it got to the point that they did take him for some tests, and they were then referred on to a specialist. And unfortunately, after doing some blood tests and some other tissue tests and so on, they came up with the diagnosis of something called Schwartz-Jampel syndrome. Now, this is an incredibly rare syndrome, and it was the first case of its kind in Britain.
Mm.
There are fewer than 100 cases ever reported worldwide, and currently only 30 that people know about. And basically, what happens with the body, it's a lottery. It's a genetic lottery. It's one of those weird things that happens that you can't predict and you can't prevent. But what it means is, ultimately, for Owen, is that his muscles fail to relax. They're in constant tension and therefore constant pain. So if you can imagine somebody going to shake your hand and then not being able to let go, that's what happens to him. So he's everything is constantly stressed, and his body, when he's got his clothes off, he looks like a little Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's incredible. He's got these very defined, over-defined muscles and big biceps and abs and everything, and it obviously looks very strange for a little boy to have that. Unfortunately, it also affects the face because it scrunches up the face muscles to the point that the people who have Schwartz-Jampel syndrome quite often have a very distinctive look. Their faces are sort of slightly scrunched up, and it affects their voices. I mean, you probably heard when you heard him talking, he has a very slightly sort of higher-pitched voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it affects that. It also affects their sight quite often because their eyes are forced closed. And ultimately, they often have to have operations so they can continue to see. And it affects, obviously, internally. The muscles are clamping down internally on the bones and the tissues, which affects blood flow. It prevents the bones from growing normally. Ultimately, it prevents them from being able to walk and so on. But not only is it incredibly rare, it also affects people very, very differently. So it's just one of those weird, strange things that you can't predict. So even though there are a handful of people around the world that the family know about who have it, one of them that I came across in the course of my research is a mother, and she's married to an American serviceman. She was living in England at the time that I met her. She's now back in America, and she had a child, and was able to live relatively normally. I mean, she had to have a cesarean because the muscles were cramping the baby in the womb, but there are all these different variants of the syndrome that then make it very difficult for them to judge what's going to happen next for Owen. What does have to happen for him is that he has to have very powerful muscle relaxants, and he has to be monitored at night. That's something that's come on in the last few years, where his breathing is very badly affected, his chest.
He has an oxygen tent, doesn't he?
Yeah, he doesn't have a tent, actually. He has oxygen, in a little nose tube.
Mm.
But it means that when he lies down, his chest is crushed and his breathing is affected. So his father, Will, had to give up work to stay home to look after him because Will has to come into his room several times a night and check that the oxygen flow is still there, and of course that's constantly disrupted sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a very difficult decision for him. And unfortunately, as is often the case in cases where children are seriously and dangerously ill, Owen's parents split up, Will and Kim split up. And she moved away, but remained very, very much a part of his life and an important and powerful presence in his life, and does everything she can to help him. So then Will found himself alone and at home with a very severely disabled little boy, and Colleen came along. And Colleen is a breath of fresh air. She's an extraordinary woman, as discussed, and she breathed into his life, and they met and hit it off immediately. And within quite a short space of time, even though he had no plans at that point to get married again or introduce Owen to anybody in a way that might confuse him, at that early stage, he did introduce her to Owen, and in her New Zealand accent she said, "Hello, little buddy." And little buddy soon got shortened to little B, and that's where his name comes from. And they also had an instant connection and got on fantastically well, which was just as well because Owen and Colleen were falling more and more in love, and before too long got engaged. And Owen adores Colleen. It's a mutual love fest.
I can tell.
And she's an incredible woman for taking him on as well as everything else. So That was an incredible thing for them to have to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So the three of them are living together, and that's when she spots Hatchie on Facebook and decides to rescue him. Now, she has a long history with dogs, and they had already got a rescue dog, a collie cross called Mr. Pixel. And Mr. Pixel was living with Owen, and Owen's very fond of Mr. Pixel, but there was no sort of instant connection with him. There wasn't a sense that you know, this dog was going to change his life or anything. So they didn't expect Hatchie to change his life. In fact, Will, Owen's father, was rather anxious about the idea of bringing such a large and disabled and potentially, you know, dangerous dog into the home. And he was very, very wary and wanted to assess how they were with each other. And he told Colleen that if it didn't work out, then Hatchie would have to go back. But she needn't have worried, he needn't have worried, because they decided to surprise Owen, and they brought Hatchie in the night before when Owen was sleeping. And in the morning they woke him up and told him, "We've got a surprise for you. In fact, we've got a very big surprise for you."
In more ways than
in
one.
In more ways than one.
Right.
And in limped Hatchie. He limps in, and I mean, I'm 5 foot five. And he comes up to, you know, my ribcage, this giant dog. And he came in and he sniffed the air and he checked out and saw that there were oxygen machines and that there were other medical things in the room. And he seemed to immediately sense that this was a little boy that needed to be treated gently.
Mm-hmm.
And as Owen gasped and sat up in bed, Hatchie mm-hmm. came over and he placed his giant head mm-hmm. on Owen's lap and looked up at him. And there was just this electrifying moment, Colleen said, where there just was an instant connection. It was love at first sight. There seemed to be an unconditional acceptance of each other's disabilities. And as Owen said, everything in my life changed that day.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a wonderful moment for everybody. Now, they were obviously pleased that Hatchie had accepted Owen, and Owen had accepted Hatchie, and that this was going to be a happy relationship, and he was a happy addition to the family. But what happened next really surprised and shocked them, because Owen by this time was at school, and of course, at school, it's very hard to be a disabled child, particularly if you're possibly the only disabled child in your class. He walks with a walker, which is difficult for him to do because his legs and everything hurt, and you know, he has to go very slowly. It's like a walking frame with wheels. But a lot of the time he's in a wheelchair, and if they go anywhere out for long distances, then he has to be in his wheelchair. And he hates being in his wheelchair, he hated being in his wheelchair, and he hated being different, and he hated looking different, and he thought everybody was staring at him, and he didn't like that. So he kept his head down, and he kept his little hooded hat on, pulled down over his face, and he kept his hands, which are kind of cramping into claws a little bit, he put them into his pockets, and he didn't want to be seen, and he had to be persuaded to go out. But obviously Will and Colleen knew that he had to continue to go out and he had to continue to go to school and have as normal a life as possible. And so they took him out. And this time, of course, they took him out with a giant three-legged dog attached to the wheelchair. And suddenly Owen realised that everybody was looking and pointing, but they weren't looking and pointing at him. They were looking at pointing at this fantastically cool dog. And everybody came up to him and said, "You've got such a cool dog. What's his name?" And for the first time ever, Owen lifted his head and he started to tell people the story of Hatchie. And Will and Colleen couldn't believe it. Everybody noticed the change in him. There was such a difference. He was suddenly much happier. He was engaged. He was doing better at school. Everything in his life had altered for the arrival of this dog, even to the point of taking his meds, which he'd been a little reluctant to
before. Because Hatchie was taking medicine, right?
Hatchie was taking his medicine, and he saw how well he did it. So he told his father, "I'm going to have to man up." And he had his father line up the pills, and he took his pills, because if Hatchie could do it, then he could. And then they started to go to a few dog shows, and initially, actually, again, because of the kindness of strangers, people who heard about their story offered them free food, free harnesses.
So the story goes on, kindness of so many people.
Exactly, and so because of that, they were invited to Crufts, which is the famous show in England, and they did this incredible visit there where people just flocked to them, and lo and behold, Owen you know, took the floor and told everybody about Hatchie and was a completely transformed little boy. And it was the most amazing thing for them to see. And if I may, I'm just going to read you one paragraph.
Yes, book, please. Go ahead.
Which is Colleen. And it's about that moment. And she says, "That was the day it all began. It was as if little B had been a bud waiting for the light and the love of Hatchie to make him flower. Up until that moment, he was in the world, but he was not of the world. Only a tiny part of him was visible and known to anybody. Hatchie made it possible for the whole world to know what a beautiful and remarkable little boy Owen Hawkins really is."
Mm. And he is. We're going to continue our conversation. Wendy Holden is our guest, and she's written the story of Hatchie and Little B, the inspiring true story of one boy and his dog. And on so many levels, it's just a story of pure love. So many levels. So if you're looking for a way to become inspired, this may be the book for you this summer. We welcome your phone calls. We also wanted to do, if we can, you heard Owen say early in this hour that he collects postcards and he's received them from all over England and a few from other parts of the world, but he doesn't have any postcards from Wisconsin. And we just thought it would be fun because he, actually there's a picture in Wendy's book of Owen's head resting on Hatchie's lap and they're on a blanket out in the backyard of their house and he's reading all the postcards. So we thought it would be fun to have you send us a postcard and then we'll just package them up and send them to Owen in England. And he would love getting them. You can tell how much he would love getting them. And I think you might love sending them to him as well. So you can, Owen is his name, and you can send them to us and we'll give you our address and how to do all of that on our Facebook page so we can carry on the kindness, huh? That would be a good thing to do. The Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show. We will continue and welcome calls. This might be the kind of show that, well, you might want to call in on. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Email talk at WPR.org. Wendy Holden is a journalist. She, for 18 years, worked for newspapers. She was 10 years on the Daily Telegraph. She is the author of a number of books, including The Sense of Paper, which was published by Random House in 2006, and she's done all kinds of books on remarkable subjects, nonfiction titles, including the one that we're talking about today, Hatchie and Little B. Our number, if you'd like to join us, is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk at WPR.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. And this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. People have been asking how you spell Hatchie's name, so we'll do that now because many of you are going out to get the book now, which is a good thing. It's H-A-A-T-C-H-I, H-A-A-T-C-H-I, and Little B, and that's B as in boy. Wendy Holden is the author, H-O-L-D-E-N, H-O-L-D-E-N. Wendy, the other thing, because this story goes on to the therapy work that Hatchie has been doing and to all these award ceremonies and this expression of kindness from people, you know, all over the world, there is, you quote, Colleen is saying something about Hatchie that makes people do wonderful things. Everyone wants to make it up to him for what happened. Having witnessed the worst of humanity, he seems to bring out the best. And that's true, I'm sure, of Owen as well, that they make people want to do wonderful things.
They absolutely do, because their love for each other and for everybody around them is unconditional. There's no side to either of them. They just have this incredible purity about them,
mm-hmm.
and wholesomeness and goodness. And really, you just feel, I don't know, it seems to pass, there's something radiates out from them that passes on humility and goodness and the want to help them and do something for them. And you know, they've struggled as a family. They're not wealthy people.
No.
And Will's had to give up his job and they've struggled. And that's really where Colleen has come into her own, because she's been the most incredible fundraiser. You know, Hatchie unfortunately slipped in the ice and very badly strained the muscles and tendons of his leg and had to have major surgery. And there was an awful moment when they genuinely thought they couldn't afford it and they were going to have to put him to sleep anyway. And it was just the most horrible 24 hours where they just didn't know what to do. And then Colleen came up with an idea to try and raise money via their social networking pages, and by the way, you can find them on Facebook and Twitter, and it's wonderful because you get all sorts of bonuses all week from them both, and little pictures and sayings and so on.
Oh, great. How do you find that, Wendy?
Well, it's Hatchie, at Hatchie HD on Twitter.
At Hatchie?
At Hatchie
okay.
HD on Twitter.
Okay.
And I will tell you their Facebook page shortly.
Okay.
But when he needed this operation, they really had some decisions to make. And Colleen decided to do a series of sponsored events, which, frankly, she never stops doing, even though she works full time. She's an incredible person, and she just keeps going on and doing these things. And they managed to not only raise a lot of the money for his operation, which was originally going to be £9,000, which is about $15,000. Plus another $7,000 or $8,000 for his long-term rehabilitation afterwards. But because of what she was doing and because of the great overwhelming support that they were getting from everybody, the veterinary surgery slashed the cost of the surgery by half. So, you know, everybody's kind of muscled in. Their Facebook page is just Hatchie, H-A-A-T-C-H-I.
H-A-A-T-C-H-I.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so she's just been amazing, and Will's been incredible too, and they just have been so supportive, as well as Kim, Owen's mum, has been extraordinary, and her family have raised money for different types of chairs. As he grows older, of course, he needs new chairs, and these aren't available for free, and they cost several thousand pounds. So each time that he upgrades, you know, they have to raise £6,000, £7,000, £8,000, you know, $10,000, $12,000 for these new electric wheelchairs that will allow him to continue to be as active and mobile as he can be while he can still be so. So they are amazing. And, of course, because of this, they started to win award after award and appear at Crufts and appear on, which is equivalent to Westminster Dog Show, by the way.
Right, yes.
And appear on TV shows.
Oh.
And the Queen rock star that you were referring to was Brian May, who presented him with an award and then just became so enamoured with Owen and Hatchie that he's continued to stay in touch. And Owen has really warmed to him, to the point that at one moment in one show, he waited backstage to see him outside the star's dressing room, and another celebrity, a British celebrity, came out and said, "Oh, do you want my autograph?" And Owen looked up at him and said, "No, I'm waiting to give Brian May mine."
Isn't that great? Will he face, and will Hatchie face, some serious operations ahead, Wendy?
They will.
They will.
Owen in particular. I mean,
yeah.
Hatchie is doing fantastically well. He recovered very, very well from his surgery. As long as he doesn't overdo it, he's not allowed to run. You asked if he could walk, and he can walk very well. I mean, it's amazing. He limps along, but he walks very well. But he's not allowed to run, and, of course, if he slipped over again and damaged himself, then they would have that issue. But he's fine, really. But with Owen's condition, you know, it is deteriorating, and it is, as he grows older, challenges are going to be faced by the whole family. He's already had some surgery, but again, this is this wonderful symbiosis, because when Hatchie had his surgery and was struggling with, you know, being confined in a giant cage that Will built for him in their home, Owen would crawl in with him and play games just, you know, with Hatchie sitting down, and would hug him and support him and give him everything he needed. So a few months later, when Owen needed surgery, when they needed to knock him out so they could see what was happening with his hips particularly, and do some x-rays and various manipulations, he took it, you know, like a man, because he'd seen what Hatchie had gone through, and he knew that Hatchie was brave, and Hatchie was patient, and Hatchie didn't complain, and so it helped him to do it as well, which was extraordinary.
It is extraordinary. How did you find this story, or did it find you somehow?
It found me because
it did.
One of the previous books I'd written was about Dear Uggy, the dog from The Artist, who very sadly died this
today.
Week. I woke up this morning to the news that he died in the past in the last few days. And he was an extraordinary, remarkable little dog. We'd had a wonderful time together, and I had seen him in The Artist and decided to write his memoir. And that book was published in 9 countries, and he and Uggy and myself and Omar von Müller, the trainer, travelled to 3 countries on a book tour, which was one of the most fun I've ever had on a book tour.
Oh, I'll bet. That sounds great.
And because of that, Colleen followed Uggy on Facebook, and then she reached out to me and asked me if I could recommend anybody to write Hatchie and Little Bee's book. And originally she had it in mind as a children's book to highlight disability and also to highlight rescue dogs, you know, the importance of rescuing animals.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as soon as I heard the story, I said, well, I'm going to write it.
Aww.
And I dropped everything and wrote it and also agented it for them. And just again, you know, this sort of sense of wanting to help and wanting to do something and wanting to, you know, really kind of make a difference in their lives for them, which, you know, hopefully we've done.
And there is something about how this story just, the circle keeps getting larger and larger and larger, doesn't it? You're in England, this story of what they've gone through started so small, and it's just touching people. And now with your book, there is something that really touches the soul about all of this in a very deep way, Wendy. I don't want to get too mushy about this, but it does. There's something, these people and you and this whole story are going to stay with me for a long time.
Yes, well, certainly staying with me, and I miss them dreadfully if I don't see them. We live a few hours apart, so I don't see them as much as I like. But there is, I mean, mush away, because trust me, people, you know, burst into tears at the sight of them, and they are just, you know, an extraordinary pair, and they're just wonderful to be with and wonderful to see. And I think we need more mush in our lives, don't we?
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, we certainly need more inspiration in our lives, and just goodness. On the thing is that it's goodness all around. Everywhere you look in this story, other than obviously it's not all cheery because they're dealing with substantial health issues, both of them, and a great tragedy. But
yes,
just the way everybody deals with it and the way they, you know, what can I do to help, or here's what I'm going to do, or it's just, oh, that's what's inspirational about it.
Yes, absolutely. And this team around them that's helping them overcome each new obstacle they face.
Right. So the book has just been released, hasn't it?
In paperback, yes.
Uh-huh. And what's the response been to it? It's probably been huge.
Oh, it's been extraordinary. It made its number one on the UK bestsellers list.
Oh, did it really? I didn't know that.
It went straight in. It went in, I think, at number 7, went to number 5, and then went to number 1. And it knocked a football manager's book off the top list. And he'd been there for months and months and months. And everybody was saying, let's move him. And Hatchie and Little Bee did it.
And it's the kind of story where it was probably okay with the football manager, too.
Yeah,
you know,
I think so.
Kind of story you want at number one. Well, there's also something, you know, serendipitous about the story finding you, too, that everybody's finding the person or the dog they need to find at the time they need to find it.
Absolutely. And you know, these young students who were studying film at university and saw something about Hatchie winning an award locally and approached him to ask if they could make a student film. And they went ahead and did that, and it's called A Boy and His Dog, and it's had over 3 million views on YouTube. And it not only won them the Best Documentary Award from their university, it went on to win a BAFTA. You know, so it's an incredible... It seems to me that everybody who does something good for Hatchie has something good paid back for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Wendy, thank you very, very much for being with us. It was just delightful. Thanks for doing the book.
Oh, bless you, and thank you very much. I hope everybody enjoys it, reading it as much as I enjoyed writing it.
Yes, I'm sure they will. Wendy Holden, Holden, and the book is Hatchie. It's spelled Haatchi and Little Bee, the inspiring true story of one boy and his dog. And it's just been released in paperback. It's a lovely story. We have, in case you are moved to see the dog and to see Owen, there is the documentary, the short documentary that we posted on our Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. It's just lovely. And also, there's a Facebook page for Hatchie, which is, you go to Haatchi if you want to continue the story. So, Thanks very much to KP Whaley for producing the hour. Thanks to Scotty Myers for doing production work here in Milwaukee. And thanks to Owen for being with us. And we couldn't talk to Hatchie, but we send him our best, our absolute best. It's a good story. We'll be with you tomorrow. Remember, during this hour tomorrow is our annual. I can't believe it's been a year since Irish Fest, but it has been. And tomorrow we'll do our annual Irish Fest show with talk about literature and also hear some great Irish music. Thank you for listening.